The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
I don't even know what to do. I don't know where to begin.
There's so much happening today.
I really don't know where to go right now.
We can start with Attorney General Jeff Sessions being fired resigning.
I honestly couldn't care less about that. That means absolutely nothing to me.
Big deal story, though.
I suppose. It means absolutely nothing to me. But I was all set to come in and break down all of the local initiatives and all the local races. And I had my analysis of everything all set to go. And I'm still going to do that. But then about 8:45, as I'm doing my show prep, I'm watching the president's press conference, which was one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
I mean, that thing went on for over an hour. I think it was close to an hour and a half.
There's never been a better time to be a radio talk show host than right now.
That one was full. That was a full news conference.
I've never seen a media that has lost its collective mind like the press corps in the White House. And so I got to play clips of that to start things off. And then also, I'm very excited about this. One of the things that jumped out at me last night was our old friend Dennis Hoff, the brothel owner down in Nevada.
Who's now dead.
Who passed away a few weeks ago. He won his race for the Nevada State House last night, even though he died a few weeks ago. And in a worldwide exclusive, in just a few minutes, Dennis Hoff is going to join us from heaven to talk about what's going on. Yeah, so we got that coming up in just a few minutes. So I tell you what, we got...
And you are really delivering today.
We have a jam-packed show for you today. So, let's just jump right in with the big lead.
The big lead, top story.
So if you were watching the coverage last night, the media was unbelievably depressed, even though their party picked up the House. But the party of CNN and NBC and MSNBC and ABC and CBS, their Democratic Party that they have been Dennis Hoffing for months and months and months, I mean, just 24/7, the media has been on a nonstop barrage trying to influence or determine the outcome of this election. And so the dream of all of those networks was that there would be this blue tsunami and that the Democrats are going to take over everything. They're going to take over the House. They're going to take over the Senate. And what they found out was, you know, because the party that is out of power in the White House always picks up houses or picks up seats in the House in the midterm election. And so last night they were disappointed because the Democrats didn't gain enough seats in the House. They thought it was going to be a bigger blowout. And then in the Senate, which is almost unheard of, the power increased for the party that controls the White House. And so it was just amazing. And I'll play you a bunch of sound bites from the networks from last night a little bit later in the show, too. But I'm telling you right now, they were just absolutely listen to MSNBC when they announced that Ted Cruz was beating that Beto guy down in Texas. Listen to how depressed they were, including Brian Williams, who used to be the face of NBC News.
Hey, guys, I got to interrupt.
In the re-election,
we have a big call. This is out of Texas. NBC News is projecting Ted Cruz will return to the Senate from Texas, and Republicans will be guaranteed control of the Senate as a result.
They were so depressed. And so this morning, the White House press corps, which was still having a hangover because the night didn't go as tsunami-like as they were expecting, they decided to just take it out on the president. And it was a wild scene. It was a press conference unlike any that I have ever seen before. And, of course, at the center of it was Jim Acosta from CNN, who just despises President Trump And when they went at it, it was a unique and I would say unprecedented moment for a White House press conference.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wanted to challenge you on one of the statements that you made in the tail end of the campaign in the midterms. That this caravan was an invasion. As you know, Mr. President,
I consider it to be an invasion.
As you know, Mr. President, the caravan was not an invasion. It's a group of migrants moving up from Central America towards the border with the U.S.
Thank you for telling me that.
Why did you characterize it as such?
Okay, and understand, this is a reporter, a supposed journalist, saying, I don't like the word you used. And it's not true that it's an invasion. And there are a lot of people who think that if you have a mob that is marching with the stated intent to come across our border, that is an invasion. You might disagree with it, but it's not like Jim Acosta has the factual, it was not an invasion, or it is not. And he's telling the press that's not true. Well, yeah, it is. He just uses a different word than you want him to use. So just the whole premise of Jim Acosta's thing was stupid. But I mean, he does everything so that he can get attention for, you know, what the president has deemed Acosta's fake news network, CNN. And there certainly is a lot to back up that CNN's fake news. But then listen to how they go at it after that.
Because I consider it an invasion. You and I have a difference of opinion.
But do you think that you demonized immigrants
I want them to come into the country, but they have to come in legally. You know, they have to come in, Jim, through a process. I want it to be a process, and I want people to come in, and we need the people.
Is there anything unfair about that answer? I'm not demonizing immigrants. We allow more immigrants, 1 million a year, through the legal process than any country on earth. And the president says they have to go through the legal process. Now, unlike with any other president, as Trump is giving, what's a reasonable answer? Jim Acosta starts interrupting him, and I guarantee you, they never, ever in 1 billion years would have treated Obama like this. But Jim Acosta interrupts what was a reasonable answer, and that's when things really started to devolve.
And I want people to come in, and we need the people. You know why we need the people, don't you? Because we have hundreds of companies moving in. We need the people.
But your campaign had an ad showing migrants climbing over walls and
That's true. They weren't actors.
They're not going to be doing
that.
They
weren't actors. Well, no, it's true. Do you think they were actors? They weren't actors. They didn't come from Hollywood. These were people. This was an actual, you know, it happened a few days ago. And
they're hundreds of miles away, though. They're hundreds and hundreds of miles away. That's not an invasion.
I think you should let me run the country. You run CNN.
All right.
And if you did it well, your ratings would be much better.
If I may ask one other question, are you worried? Okay.
So now right here, Trump says, you're done. I answered your question. And then he tries to go to Peter Alexander from NBC now. So I don't know if she's an intern. She looks very young, maybe early 20s. But it's a White House intern or staffer who gives the microphone to the reporters. Trump has said, you're done. He goes to Peter Alexander at NBC. The young woman comes up, tries to take the microphone from Jim Acosta. Acosta yanks it away from her, and it's a wild scene. And that's when Acosta says, excuse me, ma'am.
Mr. President, I have one other question, if I may ask, on the Russia investigation. Are you concerned?
No, he's wrestling for the microphone with this 20-year-old young woman so he can keep talking after the president's done with him.
That you may have.
I'm not concerned about anything with the Russian investigation because it's a hoax. That's enough. Put down the mic.
Mr. President, are you worried about indictments coming down in this investigation? Mr. President.
I'll tell you what, CNN should be ashamed of itself having you working for them. You are a rude, terrible person. You shouldn't be working for CNN. Go ahead.
I think that's unfair.
You're a very rude person. The way you treat Sarah Huckabee is horrible. And the way you treat other people are horrible. You shouldn't treat people that way. Go ahead.
In Jim's defense, I've traveled with him.
Okay, now, here's Peter Alexander, and he is jumping to the defense. Peter Alexander, who started at Q13 here in Seattle. Now he's the NBC White House correspondent. And so now he's going to try to defend Jim Acosta after President Trump's called Acosta a horrible person.
In Jim's defense, I've traveled with him and watched him. He's a diligent reporter who busts.
Well, I'm not a big fan of yours either. So
I understand.
To be honest.
So let me ask you a question if I can. You repeatedly
you
said...
You are the best.
Mr. President, you repeatedly... Over the course
okay,
of...
Okay, just sit down, please.
Now, Costa's standing up and talking some more without a microphone, and he's yelling out now.
Well, when you report fake news, no. When you report fake news, which CNN does a lot, you are the enemy of the people. Go ahead.
Mr. President...
No, then Trump pulls out the enemy of the people quote that has gotten him in so much trouble, and on it went... So then a PBS reporter tried to ask a question.
Should we keep this going for a little while?
Yes, I think you should keep this going.
You know what? When you get bored, would you please tell me? Seriously, tell me.
You're never bored.
I don't want to, hopefully not. I don't want to overstay, but yes, please go ahead.
Hi, Mr. President. Yemi Shalcender with PBS NewsHour. On the campaign trail, you called yourself a nationalist. Some people saw that as emboldening white nationalists. Now people are also saying
that it's such a racist.
There
question.
Are some people that say that now the Republican Party is seen as supporting white nationalists because of your rhetoric. What do you make of that?
I don't believe. I don't know. Why do I have my highest poll numbers ever with African Americans? Why do I have among the highest poll numbers with African Americans? I mean, why do I have my highest poll numbers? That's such a racist question. Honestly. I mean, I know you have it written down and you're going to tell me. Let me tell you, it's a racist question.
And Mr. President, I
love you know what the word is? I love our country. I do. You have nationalists, you have globalists. I also love the world. And I don't mind helping the world, but we have to straighten out our country first. We have a lot of problems.
And this
excuse me. But to say that, what you said, is so insulting to me. It's a very terrible thing that you said.
And Mr. Okay, President, Mr. President, people have talked about middle class tax.
Now he's trying to go on to another reporter, another question. She keeps going.
Tax cuts on the campaign trail. How will you get Democrats to support that policy?
You have to ask them.
Well, hey, what's your plan for working with Democrats on my plan class tax plan?
You know what my plan is? I'll ask them. And if they say yes, I'm all for it. And if they say no, there's nothing you can do because you need their votes. Go ahead.
Then April Ryan from CNN gets up, and that was quite the scene.
Just give him the mic, please. I've answered the question. Go ahead, take the mic. Well, I'll give you voters. I will give you voter suppression. You just have to sit down, please. Sit down.
April Ryan is trying to yell out a question. He's called on somebody else. He's telling her to sit down. She's yelling out at the President of the United States.
I didn't call you. I'll give you voter suppression. Take a look at the CNN polls, how inaccurate they were. That's called voter suppression. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. President.
I'm not responding. I'm responding to... Excuse me, I'm not responding to you. I'm talking to this gentleman. Will you please sit down? Excuse me.
And she keeps yelling out when he's got another reporter, has the floor, has the mic.
Excuse me, would you please sit down? Please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. Now that the House of Representatives...
Very hostile. It's such a hostile media. It's so sad. You ask me about... No, you rudely interrupted him. Go ahead.
It was an amazing scene this morning, and it was a press corps that was collectively devastated because the tsunami that they had been pushing for didn't happen last night. And so they were furious as a group. And I'm telling you, it was a wild scene. I've never seen a press conference like that before. Okay, I'm going to get to all of my local news and election analysis coming up right after the bottom of the hour news. But we do have an absolute exclusive here on the Dory Monson Show.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
As we told you right at the beginning of the Big Lead... One of the most pleasant surprises of election night was that Dennis Hoff, the brothel owner, the proprietor of the Moonlight Bunny Ranch, he was running for the Nevada State House. He won his election last night, even though he died a few weeks ago. In Nevada, a dead pimp is considered better than a living Democrat. And so joining us exclusively from heaven is the late Dennis Hoff. Dennis, I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Good morning. Good morning. Well, it's a big day, and the rhino hunter got the big prize in Nevada. He got the biggest rhino of them all, and it's been a wild ride.
Yeah, well, I know it's been a wild ride for you, and I guess heaven is the big prize for the rhino hunter there. Look, I know you had a bunch of projects going on here on Earth. How about up in heaven? Still busy as ever? Are you able to write books while you're up there?
The new book should be, instead of The Art of the Pimp, which Judith Regan did, my next book should be Prostitutes to Politics, Where the Real Whores Are.
There you go. You can get away with that. So when you arrived up there, when you passed and you arrived at the pearly gates, how did you announce yourself there?
This is the Trump of Pahrump. He's rich. He likes pretty girls. He's a reality TV star. He's an author. He's produced TV shows. He is the Trump of Pahrump, and I think that's what sent me over the edge.
So that got you through. So are you the Trump of heaven now?
So, no, that's going to be interesting, though, when you got a brothel owner.
So what have you learned since going over to the other side there?
Whiskeys for fighting, waters for drinking.
Okay.
So waters for drinking and whiskeys for fighting.
Okay.
One or the other.
Okay, I got it wrong.
I'm sorry.
I didn't think mistakes were made up there in heaven. I'm surprised that you would get anything wrong up there. So what else have you learned since you arrived in heaven?
The worst hooker I hired that I had to fire the first day is on the same level as these politicians.
Oh, look, you didn't have to go to the other side to learn that. I knew that here on Earth. Hey, look, Dennis, I know you're very, very tight on time, so I'm going to let you go, but I appreciate you joining me for a few minutes from heaven there.
Always fun. Stay in touch, buddy.
Okay, will do. Dennis Hoff, the late Dennis Hoff, joining us. He won the election last night for the Nevada State House, even though he passed away a few weeks ago. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
And as you have also been hearing, breaking news this afternoon, Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General, has resigned. Let's get you the latest on that from CBS. If we have the time, a little bit later in the big show, maybe an hour from now, I'd like to open up the phone lines. I'd like to get your thoughts on what went down with the elections last night. So maybe an hour from now, we'll have some time for that. In the meantime, I am monitoring all of your comments. If you go to the Online Trading Academy text line at 98973, that's 98973. You can weigh in. Dory, I nominate you for an Emmy for that heavenly interview with Dennis Hoff. I appreciate that. Here's somebody from the 253. Dino will win. Wait till tomorrow night. It'll be funny to see the media wrong again. I think it's too big a gap for him to make up. I'll tell you something about the Dino thing. And then I'm going to give you my thoughts on all of the local stuff from last night. But it was interesting to look at the county-by-county breakdown. In Chelan County, Douglas County, Dino beat Schreier like 75-25. But here in King County, it was, as of when I checked early this morning, it was 73-27 for Schreier. So the people in the rural areas, once again, feel like they're just being overwhelmed by the urban region here in King County. And I've heard from a lot of listeners who live in the more rural areas or in eastern King County who feel like they just don't have a chance because the things that they support get completely overwhelmed by the big city voters. But that was the take on that. I want to talk about some of these statewide initiatives. I was really glad that bogus carbon tax did not pass. That was really good news because, as we spelled out so carefully for you, it would do nothing for the planet. It was billions and billions of tax dollars from us to government control. It was non-specified what the government control would be, even. And it was being done so that Jay Inslee could run for president in 2 years and tell the country we were the first state to pass a carbon tax. It was for nothing but that. And that's not a good enough reason to take billions and billions of dollars from the people of this state. And it was decisive, that carbon tax going down. 56 to 44 is the current tally for the no votes. And again, it was King County and one other county, and I don't remember which one. Every other county in the state saw through that sham of an initiative. So well done there. The gun one, 1639, it passed. I was a no vote on that, and it was overwhelming. 60% yes, 40% no. That one's going to be challenged in court. Here's what I find baffling about the left. In Washington, D.C., they are trying to lower the voting age for the 2020 presidential election to 16. They want 16 and 17-year-olds to vote for president. In our state, we have now raised the age to buy semi-automatic guns from 18 to 21. And the stated reason is that 18, 19, 20-year-olds, their brains aren't sufficiently developed to buy and use and own a gun. If their brains are not sufficiently developed, then why in D.C. and San Francisco, and there's a very active movement here in the Puget Sound area, then why is the left desperately trying to lower the voting age? Why would you want to give the vote to people whose brains are even less developed than the 18, 19, and 20-year-olds? But you want 16 and 17-year-olds to vote. And it just shows the hypocrisy of the left. If it's about guns, you say brains aren't developed enough. If it's about voting, it's, well, let's let those undeveloped brains decide the future of our country. It's tremendous hypocrisy. That one's going to be challenged in court because, as I've told you, the Washington state constitution is very strong when it comes to personal rights, to gun rights, all of that. And 1639 will absolutely be challenged. The one that I find, you know, the most disgusting of all was Initiative 940, which they say will make it easier to criminally prosecute police officers. Even though there is a dearth of evidence that cops are on some wild rampage. And, of course, what was cited the most often throughout that campaign was Charlena Lyles, where she called cops, reported a fake break-in to lure cops to her apartment, and then grabbed a knife. Now, could the cops have done something besides shooting and killing her? They were exonerated. But what 940 would do is make it easier to criminally prosecute cops like that. The biggest danger with all of this is, as Washington State, with this initiative, we become one of the most anti-cop states in the country. Because, again, that is simply a leftist platform. The further left you get, the more of a cop hater you get. Kashama Sawant being a prime example, where she's being sued for calling cops who were exonerated murderers. But the further left you get, the more you become anti-cop. We need more cops. We have police departments who have been unable to fill open jobs because more and more people are saying, yeah, police work, it's just not worth it. You know, if you're demised, if you live in a place where you have a city council, you have the highest level of government that demonizes you, calls you a murderer, why would somebody want to be a cop here in Washington? And we need more cops. We have more crime. We have criminals taking over the streets. So 940 is very, and as I've told you, one of the provisions of 940 is a citizens oversight panel of police, And three of the underrepresented groups that'll be on the Citizens Oversight Panel, undocumented people, youth, and previously incarcerated people. So illegals, children, and criminals are going to oversee police officers in our state. And then there's 1634, which says local jurisdictions can't pass grocery taxes like Seattle's done with the soda tax. Now, why is, and that one passed, and I'm glad it did. That one was 55-45. Do I support that because I'm just anti-tax? In part. But study out today says that red meat, and especially processed red meats like sausage, that they contribute to cancer and heart risks. And there's a proposal right now in England to add a 74% tax on meats like sausages. And a 20% tax on just any beef, steak, ground beef. And more we're going to see tax, an attempt by the left to use taxes as a way for them to, just like the soda tax, where they go after minorities and poor people the most, because that's who disproportionately drinks sugary beverages. So they make the poor and the minority communities pay a tax because the social justice warriors have said soda pop's bad. And we're going to see that more and more, that they try to use taxes on red meat, on a variety of other things, to punish you because you're not politically correct in grilling a steak. So, yes, I'm very glad that 1634 passed. Got a lot of other analysis of everything that went down with the election. Again, love to hear from you. Online Trading Academy text line is 98973. That's 98973. We will take your calls at 1:30. Get your thoughts on all of this. It's our post-election wrap analysis. You're on the Dory Monson Show. It's interesting. One of the things that I've talked about a lot is the number of people whose happiness rises and falls with election results. And last night was, you know, it was a mixed bag. And, you know, as I said, the networks were collectively incredibly depressed that the tsunami didn't hit like they expected. You have Republicans who are trying to, you know, we increased in the Senate. Yeah, we lost the House. Democrats, oh, we finally got the House. We don't have a one-party government. And the reality is, for all these people, their life today is unchanged from their life yesterday at this time. And I am a little, I'm guess I'm amused, but I also find it depressing that there are so many people, like this Jeff Sessions, you know, being asked to resign or fired, depending on, you know, we always have both CNN and Fox on in here. CNN, Jeff Sessions fired. Fox, Sessions resigns after being asked by Trump. They just phrase it their own way. Couldn't care. I couldn't care less. I guess it's a big news story. I guess it has absolutely no impact on my life whatsoever. And, you know, the one thing I've always been careful about is I'm not going to pretend something to me. You know, maybe to you it's big deal. Maybe it's big news. I'm not going to pretend something's huge news because everybody says I should. I should care desperately about the AG thing. I don't. I just, it has absolutely no impact on my life. I was doing a lot of analysis of the election last night. And one of the things that is interesting and that could have a significant impact on our country, first of all, controlling the House, the Democrats are undoubtedly going to just continue the resistance, and they are going to try to investigate Trump for everything. They want him to be impeached. And it'll be about his tax returns and about Russia and, I mean, you name it. They are going to go after him. And in fact, at that press conference this morning, the president was asked about his tax returns.
And picking up there, you told me the other day that you are an open book. So
I think I am an open book.
So point blank, Democrats go after your tax returns. Will you try to block that or will you allow them to have
them? Well, look, as I've told you, they're under audit. They have been for a long time. They're extremely complex. People wouldn't understand them. They're done by among the biggest and best law firms in the country.
Okay, it goes on. I'll play the whole clip because it's interesting. But if the Democrats try to impeach Trump, that's just going to make him stronger. Just like the Kavanaugh, every Democrat who was in a contested race and voted against Kavanaugh, they all lost. Every Democratic senator who voted against Kavanaugh in a contested race. The one Democrat from West Virginia, Manchin, who was in a contested race and voted for Kavanaugh, he won. Trump's going to be stronger if Democrats spend the next 2 years trying to impeach him. And that could have some other big-time implications. We'll discuss that as the Dory Monson Show rolls on.